Hey, everybody. Dr. Lauren Hungler, naturopathic doctor and creator of the Healthy AF Mom Show, the show that helps tired millennial moms regain control of their energy, banish their cravings, beat their bloat, understand their postpartum bods, get better sleep, live life a little greener and a little cleaner, and so much more. On today's episode, we're heading into part two of our Know Your Labs, where we're gaining deeper knowledge and deeper insight into what five labs I think all exhausted moms and all exhausted women need to know. In this bite-sized episode, we're going to be going over a little recap of what we chatted about in part one, looking at my first three tests that are integral to know maybe why you're feeling tired and moody. Number two is that we're going to be starting to look at what's the thyroid connection here? What does it have to do with it? And number three is going to be looking at maybe some of the ranges that you might want to consider when it comes to your thyroid function. If you're digging the content today, I highly invite you to grab my Know Your Labs 5-day challenge, where you can gain deeper insight and knowledge into some of the topics that we've chatted about today. It lets you in on kind of those secrets that come along with like, what should my lab work really look like? So if you want to grab that, it'll just be linked in the show notes below. And as always, if you're loving the podcast, I would highly, highly appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on your podcast of choice, as well as leaving a review. Okay, so let's jump into it. So if you haven't listened to part one, I would highly recommend going back and listening to that episode first, just to get a little bit of a deeper insight and knowledge about why we want to run labs, kind of what's the difference between functional and pathological labs, and kind of getting a little bit of that like starter episode when it comes to like knowing why we need to run lab work. So in this part two series, we're going to be focusing more heavily just on your thyroid itself. And so especially as women, our thyroid, she's in charge of a whole bunch of things. So when we look at symptoms of when it's like, is our thyroid involved? Symptoms that you're going to be looking for, things that you might be experiencing that we might be able to link up to a thyroid function dysfunction is going to be feeling tired. Does this seem to be the general thread and theme throughout all of these issues? You certainly betcha. So when it comes to your thyroid, fatigue and marked fatigue and low energy can be a sure sign and symptom that maybe our thyroid is just not functioning up to snuff again. Feeling cold all the time. So this is a really common one. So if you're the person in the summer and you're always wearing a sweater, you've always got a scarf or a blanket on, you need to have your thyroid levels assessed, because feeling cold, feeling that general chill all the time can be a sign of underfunctioning thyroid. Breaking nails or brittle nails, again, another symptom. Thinning hair or loss of hair. Or if you have long hair, you've started to notice that your pony isn't the same size. Maybe it's like 50% of what it used to be. So hair loss, thinning of hair, and kind of like that loss of volume in your hair can be a sign that our thyroid we're having some issues. Another one can be really dry, really coarse skin can be a sign of underfunctioning thyroid. Low mood and depression, constipation, and actually sometimes anxiety as well. And so all of these symptoms, when we start marking them down, there's a bunch, and your thyroid can be responsible for them all. The last one that we're going to chat about is weight gain. And so this is the weight gain where everything, no matter what you flip and do, the weight stays on, right? I call it sticky weight, where maybe you've changed your diet. Maybe you're exercising. Maybe it feels like you're doing all the things, but the weight just will not budge. Sometimes this can be a sign that our thyroid is just like chugging along, working as hard as it can. And so weight gain and lack of weight loss can be an issue from a thyroid perspective. So now that we know the symptoms of like usually an underfunctioning thyroid, how do we actually test for it? So again, we're doing serum or we're doing blood work to look at thyroid function. How well is it working? How well is it responding? And is there any inflammation or immune system issues at play here too? So when it comes to assessing your thyroid, I'm a bigger fan of running what's called a full thyroid panel. And so a full thyroid panel looks at all the pieces and the components that are involved in your thyroid function. Most of the time when it comes to running it through our family doctors or running it conventionally, we are big fans of only running TSH, our thyroid stimulating hormone. And if that is normal, we're like, yep, everything's got to be cool and copacetic. Everything's got to be fine. what I've noticed from many years in clinical practice is that this just isn't true. And so we need to be better at screening women and helping to support women so that they know where their thyroid function is actually lying. Again, like I said in our last episode, we're really good at sick care, right? We're really good when TSH goes like way off the rails. And now we're like, oh, well, now we have a medication to use. What we're not so great at doing is understanding the nuances of thyroid health and the nuances of even immunological health to understand how to support the thyroid. And so doing a full thyroid panel just gives us more information, gives us a better understanding of how your thyroid is actually functioning and the different pieces that are organized within it. So when we do a full thyroid panel, what we're doing is that we're assessing TSH, we're assessing your thyroid hormones as well, which are called T4 and T3. We also look at the antibodies or the immunological response of the body. So we start looking at something called thyroglobulin antibody. We can look at thyroid peroxidase antibody as well. And then number six is that we're looking at something called reverse T3. And so when we're looking at all these components together, it gives us a better overarching view about like, what is your thyroid doing? How is it functioning? Is it happy or is it super pissed at you? And so a lot of the time, I'm finding Hashimoto's or an issue with thyroid function from an immunology standpoint where we start to see elevated antibodies is that usually most often as naturopaths, we're the first ones that are finding it because we're screening all of our women for it. So those are kind of like the big six when it comes to a full thyroid panel and understanding like exactly what your thyroid is doing and how it is functioning. Because when it comes to thyroid function, there's so many pieces that can affect your thyroid, right? And so when we talk about things that affect your thyroid, we can see things like stress. Stress can affect your thyroid's ability to work. Your gut microbiota can affect the amount of nutrients and tyrosine that are absorbed. It can affect your hormone stabilization or how hormones get out of your body. So your gut microbiome plays a role as well as your ability to even digest and absorb nutrients and minerals. Selenium, zinc, magnesium, all of our little micro minerals that we want to be really mindful have a component, have a part to play when it comes to thyroid function. Chemical burden and toxic overload can definitely play a component and an issue when it comes to thyroid function. So we always want to be really mindful that there's so many pieces that can be at play when it comes to your thyroid that sometimes it's not the first place we start when it comes to treatment and to support, but we definitely need to know what's happening and if there's an issue that we need to help your body to overcome. Because if we're not supporting some of those issues and factors that are affecting your thyroid's always just going to be very mad at you. So now that we know the symptoms of underfunctioning thyroids, we know why your thyroid can be angry or some of the factors that can affect low thyroid function, one thing we have to chat about is like, well, how does it all work? How does it all talk to each other? Because at the end of the day, that's what endocrinology really is it's this like conversation and communication that's happening through your body and your hormones are your messengers. So when we look at your thyroid, your body say is like, yeah, let's build some hair. I need to get more hair on my head, right? Your brain will send a signal to your pineal gland, which says like, yeah, let's get some thyroid hormones circulating out here. So your TRH stimulates your pineal gland to produce TSH. And then what your TSH does is your TSH or your thyroid stimulating hormone, meaning like, yeah, let's stimulate some thyroid hormone to be made. It goes from your brain down to your thyroid. And so you've got this like little butterfly gland that sits right on your neck. She's beautiful. And so it's your TSH that interacts with your thyroid gland to produce your T3 and your T4. So these are going to be your active thyroid hormones, the ones that are going out into the whole wide world to work. They're our little worker bees. 95% of the thyroid hormone that you produce is always produced as T4. And so that's how it's like running around and circulating through the body is as T4. Once it gets to the cell level, that's where we need to have this conversion. And so you need to move T4 to T3. And so your T3 is your bioactive version. It's the one that actually like does the actual work. So we need to have this conversion that happens because only 5% is made at the thyroid itself, but we have to basically convert everything, all of your T4 into that T3 to make sure that it's usable for the cell that you can actually like tell the cell to make hair, to grow your nails, to run your metabolism and lose weight, to keep you warm, to keep your energy high. It needs to kind of like all these conversations need to happen. And so our conversion has to happen there. What can throw monkey wrenches into this is that if we don't have enough of those micro minerals, so if we don't have enough selenium, enough zinc, enough magnesium, we don't get that conversion to happen. Stress and cortisol, again, muck with the conversion. And so sometimes, even if your TSH is normal, if we have an issue when it comes to thyroid hormone conversions and like having active thyroid to like do the work, that can be another component. Chemical and toxic burden also inhibits this conversion too. So you can see that there's a lot of different pieces at play here. The next level that happens is that maybe if we're not, so say your brain is like, yeah, let's make the hair, let's stay warm. You're producing lots of TSH, but we don't have enough building blocks to make your thyroid hormone, then we have issues there too. And so your TSH, you get this signal back to it that's like, hey, no, like we're not, there's still not enough there. I told you to make more. And so you have this feedback. And so your TSH keeps rising, but our T3 and our T4, our hormones are on the low side of things. So there's a lot of different components. It's a lot of science. It's a lot of physiology. I get it. That's where my job really comes in. But I always like people to understand kind of some of the science, some of the physiology, but like why things are happening. And so when we get into the Hashimoto's conversation, what's happening there is that we actually have an inflammatory infiltrate in the thyroid. We've got the immune system running renegade for whatever reason. And so we've got these antibodies, meaning that we have an antibody that's reacting to self, meaning that you're starting to see yourself as foreign, as something that's not supposed to be there. And we can get an attack and we can get an inflammation happening there. And so what we can see on lab work is we can actually see those antibodies and we can see them increase over time. And so a lot of the time when it comes to conventional care, Hashimoto's, we don't really do anything until the numbers are so high that we're like, ooh, I think things like bad things might come out of this. Let's modify it. So when it comes to naturopathic medicine, we're really big proponents of preventative care. We're really big proponents of helping you to not get to the place where like your organs and shit doesn't work. I want to catch you before you get there. And so a lot of the time we can do work to help to support your immune system, to support your thyroid so that we don't get to the nasty place. We can stay from a disease progression standpoint. We can either, we tend to lower those antibodies. We can get those antibodies back down and we can get them down to a place where they're not causing as much inflammation and as much havoc. And so that's where our antibodies come in and why we really want to be mindful and test and screen women, because we can pick this up at really low values before shit hits the fan. And then that final test or reverse T3, I really use this as like a sign of like stress. So what can happen is that your T3 or that thyroid hormone, we can actually convert it into something that is not even like usable. So we're like, oh yeah, like this T3 is great. And then we have excess stress or we have really low nutrient and mineral profiles and we flip it into this what's called reverse T3. And so it kind of looks like T3, but it doesn't interact with your cells in the same way. So you have this thing or this hormone that will mimic T3. It looks like it close enough that it can bind to the same receptors, but it doesn't have the same communication. So it doesn't tell you to have better energy. It doesn't tell you to make hair. It doesn't help you to have like luscious, gorgeous nails. It kind of just like sits there, blocks the site and does a whole heck of a lot of nothing. And so sometimes when patients come back and their reverse T3 is really high, it can be a really seamless conversation to be like, well, how is your stress? Is it higher than maybe what you're letting on or what you can logically understand? Maybe it's your body's first way of telling you like, hey, I need you to slow your roll. So that's our big thyroid function aspect and thyroid panel. So again, I know it's a big science discussion, but it is a really important point because we do find it so often and so commonly with women that your thyroids are kind of like our first organ to have an issue, and that it's something we can support. It's something we can understand and we can facilitate to improve. And we can get like gorgeous hair again. We can get luscious skin. We can get less breaking and brittle nails. I can make it so that you're not wearing blankets all summer, right? There's ways that we can support your thyroid so that she's humming on all cylinders. She's functioning really well. She's talking to each other. She's not creating any immune system issues or inflammatory infiltrate. She's not creating any like weird reverse T3 where we're making a hormone that like does nothing productive for us. We start having these really great conversations between your TSH, your brain-based hormones, and your thyroid-based hormones, and then that's communicating it to the cell. And we can get this like nice, gorgeous cycling and beautiful hormonal signaling across the whole body. And you usually will feel that. And it feels really good once we get your hormones to have the appropriate conversations with each other. So we've talked about the symptoms we can experience. We've talked about reasons why your thyroid can be under or over functioning. We've talked about how the actual kind of like nuts and bolts of the thyroid really work. When it comes to values or kind of like optimized ranges, when it comes to, we'll just talk about TSH because it's the one that most people have tested the most often. So usually I like that value to be less than 2.5 is usually my goal. Usually anything where we start to get up into 3 or 4 micrograms per liter, we're going to start to see usually issues and more signs and symptoms. And so we can have what's called like subclinical hypothyroidism. So if you're the person where your TSH has come back, they're like, yeah, everything's normal. Everything looks good. You're not like high enough to be prescribed a medication, but you're still having like the person who's ticking off every single symptom of like hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's or that like underfunctioning thyroid picture. It's something that you need to have tested and addressed to see, okay, is it something where you're in a disease progression where you're not at the point where we can medicate you, but there is a point now where like, hey, your thyroid still works. High five. Let's support it so that we don't get to the point where we need medications every single day. It's not that medications are bad or that we don't need them. I think they're really important and can be a really big game changer for women. What I am a really big fan of is like, let's not get to the point where the organ doesn't work anymore before we do anything for you. We want to support you before you get there. And so with thyroid panel testing, we can do that. We can understand where you're at and help to support you to feel your best and really optimize your thyroid function and your thyroid labs. When it comes to serial testing, especially when people are like, oh, I found out my antibodies are high, how often should I test or what can I look for when it comes to how fast are they going to come down? I usually test between 3 to 6 months after we've initiated treatment. Antibodies in general just take time. She's a slow roasting kind of idea. It's like a braised beef. We want to be really mindful that we need to give it time. We need to have you on something from a consistent protocol to help to move those antibodies down into a happier place or at least stop their progression where they're not getting into a place of dysfunction and having even more adverse outcomes. And on that being said, if you're a person, a lot of the time, like if you've already got celiac, if you're a type 1 diabetic, if we already have issues from an immune system standpoint, it's always good to make sure that you're checking for these things because once you usually have an issue from an antibody and an inflammatory reaction and issues from an immune system being overactive from that perspective, a lot of the times you start to see other issues start to pop up. So it is something where if you're that person, you want to just be really mindful that you're having consistent testing and doing baseline testing probably once a year just to keep tabs on your thyroid function. So there you have it. That was part 2 of our labs you need to know when you're feeling exhausted. So like I said, in our first part, we talked about ferritin, vitamin B12, and vitamin D. On part 2 today, we talked all about thyroid and thyroid function and thyroid panels. We did a very immersive day when it comes to the thyroid. We're going to touch base on part 3 next. And when we're going into part 3, we're going to be chatting all about your metabolic flexibility, how your metabolism is working and how we can measure that to understand maybe even like 10 years before what's happening from a diabetes or from a blood sugar stabilization and a cellular understanding by your body. Again, endocrinology is all about the communication that's happening and how are we going to make it even better for your body to understand. So that's going to be part 3. Get pumped. And again, if you want to dive deeper, if you want to get more knowledge or you're like, what were the numbers she was firing off? Totally understand it. You can grab my Know Your Labs 5-day challenge. You can grab the link just below. It's a great PDF to keep on hand to understand your labs and understand maybe where you want to sit. And if you're at a place where you're like, oh no, I need more information. I need to know what my labs are. I work with women from all over Ontario. We work all via telemedicine, but I run tons of lab work and we can kind of get down to the understanding of what's going on for you, what's happening in your body, and really kind of start looking under the hood of that car and knowing what your body is saying and what your body is telling you and what your labs are communicating. So until part three.